Welcome to our Sunday night service here at Calvary Baptist Church. We hope you've had a wonderful afternoon on this Sunday, this Sunday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, and we hope you've enjoyed it. And we have, and we enjoyed the service we had this morning. I hope you did. And we talked a little bit about the love of God, and we hope that you were inspired to keep on going for the Lord during these troublesome times. And so we are just excited and thrilled about being here once again tonight. And so with that said, we're going to quickly just mention, mention a few of these folks we did this morning. But let's continue to remember Miss BJ as she goes, BJ Williams as she goes for her outpatient eye surgery on Wednesday. Brother James Townsend will be going tomorrow to for the completion of his heart catheterization that was started on Thursday. And so he's going tomorrow. Again, let's remember the results of Miss Shirley Townsend, her PET scan that she had on Friday. And whenever those come in, let's just remember her during the meantime. And Miss Mary Kelly, who had oral surgery on Wednesday. Miss Don Capistrano, and the possible neck surgery. Brother Randy Maddox's sister, her health. And Brother David Henderson, good friend of his, father figure even, and that is Claude. Let's remember him in our prayers. And they're just going through a difficult time. And let's remember one another in prayer. Let's remember our church, our fellow churches, the body of Christ that makes up the entire body of the Lord. Let's remember all of the believers tonight. Let's remember our world. Let's remember our political system, America, and the new administration, and everything that's taking place when it comes to that. So let's pray tonight, and then we will bring around the message in just a few moments. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, and we praise you for who you are and for what you do. Thank you, Lord, for this morning service and the things that were accomplished, Lord. We really feel like we were able to praise you. There was a liberty here this morning, as there is every Sunday, but just a little different, a little special on this Valentine's Day Sunday this morning. And thank you, Lord, for your love, your endless, boundless love. We are so very thankful. Help us leave this place today. Help us go into our own work weeks, our own particular weeks, exhibiting the love of God. Meet with us tonight in a mighty way. And again, bless these. Be with these, Lord, who are in need of prayer, that's coming upon appointments, doctor visits. Be with everyone watching. Be with our world. Be with our leaders. We love you. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brother David. And again, thank you for tuning in by way of Facebook and watching and being part of the service tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 2 this evening. 1 Peter chapter number 2 is going to be our place of reading for the next few moments. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and I do want to read just after we pray from verse number 11 and verse number 12. 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12 after we pray. Lord, we come one more time in Jesus' name. Hide us behind the cross tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll communicate the truth of your word to the hearts of your people. To those watching, those that are here, Lord, we pray that we might be different by the time that this service is over, by the time we walk into a brand new week living for you. We love you tonight. We give you praise for what you have done, for what you're doing now, and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let's keep reading. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Notice that, for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I want to stop reading there in verse number 15. We as Christians, those who have professed to know Jesus as their Savior, in the Bible we are called many things. We're called saints in some places of the Bible. In other places we are called the elect. We are called the saved in some spots. We are called the redeemed in other locations. And we're called sheep. We're called many things in the Bible when it comes to the believer and his Lord, knowing Jesus. We're called many things. But tonight I want to look at one specific name that we're called. That is in verse number 11. He actually names us two things, strangers and pilgrims. But I want to look tonight at that word, strangers, the title, strangers. And I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, being a stranger. Many times, like the old saying goes, when you haven't seen somebody in a while and you finally see them, they'll say, howdy, stranger. It's been a while. Well, tonight, whether we haven't seen someone in a long time, a fellow brother or sister in the Lord, we could daily call each other strangers. Because that's what Peter says we are. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Now, tonight, I want to mention three ways that the word strange is used in relation to the believer. And it's used at least three different ways in 1 Peter. Now, I want to try to do my best to mention the three ways that that word strange or stranger is used in relation to the believer. Number one, when it comes to being a stranger, the word stranger or strangers is connected to the world. It's connected to the world. Notice what Peter says. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, he says, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Now, the name strangers here simply means foreigner. And it means foreigner to this world and the world system. The word pilgrims means sojourner in a strange place. And so he says that we are foreigners to this world and this world system. We're strangers and pilgrims. We are sojourning in a strange place. It goes without saying that this world is not our home, like the song says. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And there's treasures laid up for me somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not our home. We are strangers. The moment that a person accepts Jesus as their personal Savior, they are now translated into being a stranger. Our home tonight is heaven. It's not this land. That's why it's such a struggle for us here. That's why it's such a strain on believers. Because that our home is now in heaven. We are strangers, the Bible says. And so we see that this label, this name, strangers, is connected to the world. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers. Again, that word means foreigner. Strangers and pilgrims. Pilgrims meaning sojourner in a strange place. Strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And so the question is tonight, what do we do as strangers of this world? Well, Peter tells us. He says, number one, in verse 11, that we are to refrain from the flesh. He says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. That word abstain just simply means to refrain. Abstain or refrain, he says. He says, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And tonight we see that we are to, while we're here in this strange land, while we be strangers, while we're here, and while we are just traveling through this life, we are to refrain from the flesh which wars against our soul. The flesh is a soul killer. The flesh can be a joy stiller. The flesh that we live in. But we are to refrain from the flesh. And so he uses the word war here. Of course, the word war simply means to fight. Means to fight. Now, in the book of James, chapter number 4, in verse number 1, listen to this, when it comes to the flesh and wars. James 4, 1 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. And so James is talking about the same thing Peter's talking about. He's saying that both men are saying that we are in a strange land. Our citizenship is in heaven. We have appetites for heaven. We have desires for heaven. But while we're still in this mortal body, it is subject for failure. We have these fleshly inclinations that we have to deal with while we're in this world. And so he tells us to stay out of the struggle. He says, stay out of that war zone when it comes to the flesh. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. When we give into our flesh, it creates a war internally. And again, it is a joy stiller. It is a soul killer. And warring in our flesh, warring within the members of our body. In the book of James, chapter number 1, James says this. James likens a man that is being unstable in all of his ways, the double-minded man. And so we can compare this lifestyle of warring in the flesh as a man being unstable in all his ways. So therefore we are to refrain from the flesh tonight as we are traveling through this dry and barren land, being strangers and pilgrims. We're to abstain the best we can. We are to fortify and build up our spiritual man. As we mentioned this morning, we're to keep ourselves in the love of God. But while we're here being strangers and pilgrims, we are to refrain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Now, Peter tells us a second thing that we're to do in this world as strangers. Not only refrain from the flesh, but vindicate our profession. Vindicate our profession. Look in verse number 12. He says, having your conversation or manner of life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So now Peter is moving on to this daily manner of life, this conduct. And he says that the lost and dying world are always looking to place blame on the believer. And he says they're speaking evil against you. You know, I got to thinking today that this old world we're living in, they call the believer, those who are saved and love the Lord and have godly standards in their lives, this world calls us evil because our life exposes their sinful life. And the same back in Bible days, it was the life they lived and it confounded the life that the lost lived. And so there was exposure of sin. And so therefore they changed it around and they said, well, the righteous, they're the ones that are evil. They're the ones that are marching by their own beat. Well, tonight the Bible tells us that we are to have our manner of life honest among the Gentiles. Whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we're to vindicate our profession. Don't give the lost any room to place blame on you as a believer. Where a lost person would say, someone that doesn't know Jesus, see, I told you so, they're a hypocrite. Well, listen, the truth be known tonight, we as believers are not perfect, we're just forgiven. But yet we still, on the same token, don't need to give the devil any room to place blame on God's children. So we are to have our conversation honest among the Gentiles. They're already speaking evil against us, but let us vindicate our profession. Justify our profession with a holy life. Justify our profession with a godly manner of life. And so when the time comes when we have a conversation with the lost, or there's a day of visitation where we actually engage in conversation, they know that we have talked what we walk, and then possibly they'll be glorifying of God on their behalf. The same thing basically is said in Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew 5 and verse 16 says this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, tonight the truth of the matter is they'll never know how much, they'll never care how much we know until they know how much we care. You see, there is a walking out, fleshing out, walking out in shoe leather what we believe. And so we're to do that so that it may vindicate our profession because they're trying to speak evil against us. We're keeping in mind tonight that we're talking about being a stranger. And so Peter says that we're to refrain from the flesh or to vindicate our profession. And then in verse number 13, we're to subordinate ourselves to others. Look what he says in verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What are we to do tonight as strangers? We're to subordinate ourselves to others. The word submit in verse 13 means to subordinate oneself. It means to submit to one's control. It means humble thyself, and we're to do this for the Lord's sake. Now tonight he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors. Tonight there are signs, let me just say it this way, the easiest way I can explain it. There are signs tonight on businesses, and you can remember this, that says no shoes, no shirt, no service. And what do we do? What should we do? Of course, we're to go clothed into a restaurant or a place of business, number one. But we're to obey those ordinances. We're to obey as strangers and people. As Christians, we are to obey those laws. No smoking, no problem. No soliciting, no problem. As believers, everybody should, but as believers, they need to see our manner of life, especially if we name the name of Christ, we're to obey those things. Now, this is just a minor way of putting it. No shoes, no shirt, no service, we obey. No smoking, we obey. No soliciting, we obey. But let me ask you this. No masks, no service. A lot of places of business nowadays, and this has aggravated me tremendously. On their businesses, the sign says, mask required or you cannot enter. And what do you see? You see people in those stores with no masks on. Now, I don't know. They may have a legitimate case. They may have a doctor's note in their pocket. But I believe tonight, as a Christian, as a believer, we are to, the Bible says, for the Lord's sake, submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. Talking about the king or governors. He says in verse 15, for so is the will of God. If the sign says wear a mask, as being a believer, we are to obey that. Regardless of what you believe with or would not, wear the mask. That's what we're called to do. We are called to be subordinate to others, those in leadership. If you don't want to wear the mask and they require you to wear a mask, don't go there. It's simple. But I believe if we're naming the name of Christ and we go out to the community and we have an arrogant spirit, and we have this kind of bad, stinking attitude as believers, it doesn't do our cause much good at all. But tonight we are called strangers to the world. And we see that we are to refrain from the flesh, vindicate our profession, and subordinate ourselves to others. There's a second connection with the word strangers in this book. Not only strangers connected to the world, but then there's strangers connected to those watching. Look, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 4, notice what he says. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. How about that? Now the word strange here, it means to be a guest. In other words, not a familiar anymore. And he's talking about how that the difference of Jesus makes in someone's life and your position changes and you are no longer attached to this world, but your citizenship is in heaven. Therefore, you're a stranger. And he says that there will be people who used to be familiars with you, friends and family and such, But since you met the Lord, they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. I know when I got saved, I stopped running with a lot of people. And just don't run in the same direction anymore. And you won't believe, and you will never guess who the evil one is. You'll never guess who the weird one is out of me and them. You're looking at them. I'm the weird one. I'm the one who's evil. I'm the one who is, you know, who turned my back on them. No. I'm strange because the Bible says I'm strange. But when Jesus moves in your life, there will be a change in your life, and you will not run to the same excess of riot anymore. As they speak evil of you, you're like a guest to them. You're no longer a familiar, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They don't recognize the new man. So at one time we were occupants with them, dwelled daily with them, but now we're guests. That's what that word strange means here. It means to be a guest. And then there's another thing when it comes to the word strange or strangers in connection to the believer I want to mention. Not only we see the word strange connected to the world, we have duties concerning that. The word strange connected to those watching has to do with those that we used to be familiar with and run with. But now we see the word strange connected to the will of God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, 1 Peter 4. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf." Now tonight we see that there's a connection with the word strange to the will of God. And he tells us to think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try us. So the word strange here is closely connected to verse number 4, to be a guest. But in this sense, it also means appearance. He's talking about the things that come in and out of our life that seem strange. Has anybody ever gone through anything where you felt like that it was just strange? Why am I going through this? This is a strange trial I'm going through. Never been through this before. Well, it has to do with the appearance of a thing. The words try you here, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. The two words try you means experiment, a putting to proof, or a refining of faith. So he tells us to not think it strange. Do not get caught up in the appearance of a thing because of how strange it may seem what you're going through. He says, but there's a purpose for these strange trials, and that is that it is refining your faith. It's an experiment from above, if you will. God is refining faith through strange things and strange trials. Although the appearance may seem evil, yet God is working all things together for good. Now, tonight, what are we to do with these strange trials? What are we to do? Number one, we're to cheer up. Notice verse number 13. We're to cheer up because we're suffering with purpose. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. You see, we are fellowshipping. Remember when Paul prayed that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul wanted to know him. But the same in our life, the Lord wants us to know him. And he wants to know us more. He knows us, but we want to know him more. So he says that we are undergoing the same kind of sufferings in like manner that he did. We have named the name of Christ, and we are going through strange dilemmas, strange trials, but it's not without purpose. It's for the Lord's sake. So we can rejoice tonight that although things may seem strange and the appearance may seem odd, we can rest assured that God is refining our faith. We can rejoice in that. Verse number 13, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, is what Peter is telling them. Peter is saying that you are suffering because you are bearing the name of the Lord. He says, rejoice. God is refining you during this time. So we can cheer up because we're suffering with purpose. We can cheer up during these strange trials because we're soon to see the Lord. Same verse. He says in verse 13, when his glory, or he says, but rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. He says, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. When his glory may be revealed, when that time comes where we see him, there will be some catching up, but there is a cheering up in the process. Notice something in verse 14. We can cheer up because we're saturated with God's Spirit. Verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. We can cheer up during our strange days, our strange trials, because God's Spirit is saturated upon us. The word resteth upon you has to do with a tent or being clothed over like a tent. When you go through trials and you experience hardship for the name of the Lord and you keep going, you're committed, God is with you. He is the very reason why you're making it through that trial. And so there's closeness with God. We can cheer up. But then the second thing we're to do, we're to lift up. Same verse, he says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. We can lift up this evening, and that is, we can glorify God in our sufferings. We can glorify him because we know that he is at work tonight. This evening we're called strangers, we're called pilgrims, we're called a lot of things in the Bible. Saints, the saved, sheep, the elect, the redeemed. But Peter says that we are strangers and pilgrims. We are foreigners to this world. We are making our way through a strange place. While we're here, we are to refrain from the flesh, vindicate our profession, subordinate ourselves to others. We're strangers concerning those that we used to run with, our old familiars. Then that word strange is connected to the will of God. Sometimes things seem strange. But at the end of the day, let us pray to God and ask God if it's something that has come from him providentially concerning our strange trials, or if it's something that we've allowed to come in. Either way, we serve a God tonight who has a way of bringing goodness out of roughness. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for who you are, for what you do. I pray you'll take these few words we mentioned tonight, that they may be a blessing to your people, Lord. We've tried to mention some things concerning our position as strangers and some things we deal with on this Valentine's Day Sunday night. And so, Lord, if there's somebody out there that needs to be saved, that needs instruction, Lord, let them pray to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're giving our virtual invitation, and if you need to pray tonight, now's the time. Tonight, and hope something was said that might help you along the way. And just remember our midweek service at 7 o'clock, and we will be Facebook Live again. And again, thank you for faithfully watching, and we appreciate you, Calvary Baptist Church. Appreciate this opportunity to stand one more time. We hope you have a blessed week. Till then, until next time, we will see you later. Take care and God bless.